You're listening to your MBA podcast with David and Kane.
It's an emergency pod, Kane! Ime Udoka is back! He's back, baby!
Is he?
Now, we debated about whether or not to wait a bit for it to be official first, but seriously, Kane, I mean, when it comes to Ime Udoka...
Who are we kidding?
What's official anyway? Employment contracts? Marriage certificates? That's just paperwork, baby!
Just...
Ime does what Ime do! Okay, let's...
Show some respect to the man. He took a team to the finals last year.
Sure, Kane, sure. We're breaking it today. Let's just break it right now. The Brooklyn Nets, your beloved Brooklyn Nets, fired Steve Nash and hired Ime Udoka.
Yes.
Break this down. As a lifelong Nets fan and as someone who, let's just be honest, have quite a long track record of supporting people and teams with, let's just say, questionable behaviors, how has the last few days been for you?
That's a little unfair.
Go ahead. You have the floor.
I wish I could support my team without any red flags. I wish there was this, like, some kind of, I don't know, drama-free solution to my sports fandom. Like, it seems like both my sport teams are so drama-filled. I mean, we didn't even talk about Tom Brady getting a divorce. That's like, I mean, that shouldn't be a sports story, but that's a major sports development just because it was reported for so long that this guy is having marital problems and, you know, issues at home. And then it comes out and it's like a huge thing. We haven't even talked about it. And now we're talking about my other team that I've been afflicted with. The Nets finally fired Nash. I've been texting you nonstop after every game. Are they going to fire Nash yet? Are they going to fire Nash yet?
You know, a little bit behind the scenes, we've been texting back and forth almost daily about Nash. I guess it's always surprising when a coach gets fired less than 10 games into the season.
I think the writing was on the wall when the season started because preseason didn't go so well. And you're like, okay, look, it's just preseason. The start of the season begins and it's like, okay, well, look, they got smashed by the Pelicans. Or, I think the Pelicans are a good team. And then they beat the Raptors and it's like, oh, okay, you know, like maybe they need some time, you know, like it was a close game, but yeah, like they don't need some time. They're a talented team. And then like for the next five games, including the losing against the Pacers, it was just like worse and worse and worse. And it just didn't seem that Nash has learned from the past two seasons.
Miles Turner is literally wearing a Lakers jersey during the game. They literally have not, first of all, they only won two games so far, and none of those wins were actually convincing. In both of the wins against the Pacers and the Raptors, I mean, those teams were making a comeback down double digits in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah. And even against the Bulls made a huge comeback in the fourth quarter, or in the third quarter, second half.
So we knew this was something's probably going to change, but I guess now that it's happened, I'm still surprised that it has happened. But the new coach, Ime Udoka. Ime Udoka. What the fuck? In our text, I was half jokingly saying that, you know, you should go after Ime.
Yeah, I've been saying this for a long time, though. Since all the drama unfolded with Boston, I was like, okay, finally Boston has some drama that is, I think, equivalent to what the Nets were dealing with. Because you talk about unhappy star players. Yes, that's one thing. But in Boston, that's not like foreign to Boston. Unhappy star players. I've heard that story like a million times in Boston. And it's not only that, it's also what do you want to call it? Like sexual harassment? Unwanted advances? Mutual relationships is at least the PC term. Coined by Woj.
Coined by the Nets PR office.
By the way, Woj literally put a tweet out saying they released Josh Primo from the San Antonio Spurs. And it was like literally like a retweet from the Spurs owned like Twitter account, Team Waiver Wire. And it's like, at this point, it's like, okay, Woj, like, what are you doing here? We want inside sources. We don't want fucking... That's what Magic Johnson does. Magic Johnson is the guy that literally retweets and shares like facts.
I want Woj to quote his sources, like source NBA.com. According to NBA.com. Yeah.
According to Shams.
According to Shams. Oh, low blow. That's a low blow. Okay. That's a low blow.
You know what happened to Josh Primo? He was like apparently exposing himself. Like, he's a young player. He only got drafted last season, 12th overall pick.
This is by
pick,
the Spurs.
And it was like, he was from the, drafted by the Spurs. Spurs has an excellent track record of drafting players. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, they released a guy just a year, into his second year?
Wait, exposing himself to who? To, like, strangers?
Yeah, they found out that, didn't read into it, didn't care, wasn't. Not in the mood to read sport news, but yeah, apparently he's been exposing himself to multiple women.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so he'll be on the Nets next week.
So yeah, it's on. So yeah, we've signed him.
So when are you getting the Josh Primo jersey?
So
along with your Derrick Rose jersey.
We've got Myles Leonard.
Okay, look, what are we talking about these? Let's stop beating around the bush. Talk about this directly. Yeah. Talk about this directly. Ime Udoka.
So like I was saying, I think Ime was perfect for the job since he was embroiled in some kind of controversy in the offseason around, let's just call it an improper relationship with the subordinate. Yeah, that's fair enough to paint it like that. Whether he was right or wrong, we don't know. I'm sure we'll find out the juicy details soon when the Celtics leak all the information. But for now, let's call it improper relationship with a white woman. And since then, what the Celtics were saying was, what did they say? Like, we're going to suspend from the season, but we'll revisit his employment with our team, after this year, after his suspension's up, which is bullshit. He obviously crossed a line that the Celtics could never salvage. He could never salvage. And then it was like, okay, like, if anyone wants him, you can have him. And Brooklyn must have been vetting him this entire time, because you would never go 7 games into a season and then just call it quits with your coach. If Sean Marks and Josiah have thrown the weight behind the continued employment of Steve Nash into training camp, into, you know, whatever, while Quinn Snyder's, available, while Mike D'Antoni's available. These are two solid head coaches with proven track records. Well, Frank Vogel, I'm not a huge fan of Frank Vogel, but even he's a championship winning head coach.
Yeah, for sure. The Lakers.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he won it with the Lakers. And I mean, if you want cachet, if you want some type of resume to lead that job, then you have it. There's a bunch of them. Quinn Snyder's not a championship head coach, but he's led his team to the playoffs countless times, more than at least, I think, 7 times with the Jazz. I mean, I don't know. I can't make that up, but a lot of times with the Jazz. You can find guys out there that are available right now. And so I think 7 games in, Nash had a super, super short leash. We know that now. Obviously, we knew that before, but it's obvious now how short his leash was. And they must have been vetting Udoka this entire time in terms of doing the due diligence, as in Googling. I think vetting just meant, like, how much could they stomach it? And for Josiah, who's a basically wanted war criminal,
okay,
if he was any other nationality.
Calm down, Jesus Christ.
I'm sure that he is able to deal with a dude that had an improper relationship with a subordinate. That's like pretty much all of China's.
Okay, you be quiet.
And disappeared tennis players, basically.
you be quiet.
Did you see that guy? What's his name? Jin Tao, former chairman of China, just taken away like an old man.
This is so insulting. Look, he's fine. Okay, he's resting at home with Peng Shui.
This is Peng Shui. I'm so safe and happy.
They're fine, okay?
Jack Ma.
Peng, you are a little silly man. This is Peng Shui. You see, I am perfectly fine.
I'm actually really surprised to hear you say this. Basically, what you're saying is the Nets looked at the field and saw that Ime Udoka is the best choice, coaching-wise, drama aside. And then they said, fuck it. We don't care. We don't care.
I didn't know that the balls to do it, to be honest. Like, I would have loved it. I think from the fan experience, a lot of people on Reddit were clamoring for it. But now that it's happened, I'm not too sure people are that ready, like, are ready to accept that as a reality yet. And I think that's why maybe the Nets are not only vetting, like, you know, they're basically feeding information to Woj and letting Woj kind of test this out to the Sharks and see how this, like, how the Sharks sort of feed on this news. But, and yeah, like, Udoka being the head coach of the Nets was something most fans wanted. They wanted Nash. 100% of the fans wanted Nash gone. But now that's happened, you see some remorse. Not some remorse, but some sympathy towards him. Like, oh, he never had a fair shake. And, like, Udoka, like, yes, he's been here before. He's had experience with Kyrie, Ben Simmons, and KD in the past. And he's been on Sean Marks' staff in San Antonio before, and obviously in Brooklyn because he was assistant head coach in Brooklyn, assistant coach in Brooklyn. And now that's happened, it's like, okay, are we ready to deal? Is he ready to deal? Is he like ready to tell his side of the story? Basically, he's gonna be on the podium in front of the media after every game. And after every practice and before every game, talking about his experience in Boston last season, basically. He's going to have to relive it dozens of times. And is he prepared to do this? Because he's not stepping into a job where he's coaching young guys and, you know, established veterans like Derek White and Al Horford and Marcus Smart. He's going into a job that is the most drama-filled job in the, I think in the history of the NBA. Maybe it's, in terms of drama, it's like equal to the Bulls with Dennis Rodman. Like, I honestly feel like it's that level of drama. I don't think any team has been under this level of scrutiny in the history of the NBA.
I think you're underselling the Nets. I think this is way beyond the amount of drama that we saw in the Bulls in the 90s. The reason I say that is at least that drama is in the locker room, is among the players. Whereas this drama is...
Dennis Rodman was...
Well, Dennis Rodman, he's just partying. He did nothing illegal. There was never any inappropriate reports of him doing anything.
Drugs.
We don't know about that. But I think in this case, not only do we have locker room drama between players, I'm including Ben Simmons there, you have drama between players and coach. You have drama between players, Kyrie Irving, and the front office. You have drama with your players, Kyrie Irving, with the media. You have drama now with the new hired coach because of his sexual harassment circumstances. And Kyrie Irving himself is currently going through drama and is likely going to be fined by the organization, if not the NBA, for his anti-Semitic tweets and promotions of anti-Semitic materials.
Like, at least Nash was a, like, sterile piece of cardboard. He didn't have a personality as a coach. He didn't have any drama thing about it. He was just a mouthpiece for the Nets. And it was, I can see from that angle, it was a bit unfair because he didn't have to. When he took this job, he thought it was going to be a lot easier. He must have definitely thought it was going to be a lot. He didn't realize that it was going to be this hard for sure, right? Coaching KD and Kyrie, he didn't think it would turn into this. I kind of feel bad from that aspect of him, but I don't feel so bad because he clearly was in way over his head as just a general head coach. Like it shouldn't be that hard as a respected Hall of Famer. Look at what Jason Kidd can do. Even Chauncey Billups can do. Like, is Damian Lillard like a walk in a park? Is he like just such an easy guy to coach? You can just tell him what to do? Like, I don't think so. Like, all these star players have egos. Do you think Jason Kidd could just walk up and tell Giannis and tell LeBron and tell like Luka what to do? Like, a lot of these star players have egos. Like, no, we've seen it with LeBron, obviously. He's had multiple coaches fired because he wanted like a different coach, basically. The star players aren't easy to coach, and like for Nash to take this job, accept this job, and think that based on his brief period as a Warriors trainer that he can become a head coach, like it's like a little bit like
he wasn't even officially on the Warrior staff. I think he was just a consultant.
Exactly, it was like a consultant. Yeah, and to think that he can go from a consultant to head coach of an organization and like a leader of players and guys that, you know, arguably have much better talent than Nash is. Nash might have been the overall better player, but these guys are so, so, so talented that he's coaching. And it clearly towards, you know, basically last year in the first 7 games, he wasn't respected enough for players to listen to him. And defensively, and you see the way they're giving out offensive boards, it all falls on the coaching. That effort isn't just like a talent. Effort is something you really have to put work into. And you're not going to put work into it if you're not loving work at the moment. And you're not loving work if the coach isn't inspiring you, basically. So, yeah, like I don't feel so bad for Nash. I feel like Nash was way over his head. And Udoka at least has shown that given tough times, at least basketball-wise, he's able to lead his team out of a funk and lead them to the finals. So I do feel like Udoka has the right metal to take on the Nets, but it's compared to the Celtics, this is the big leagues of drama. Like he really has to take control, and I believe he will, because I don't like Quinn Snyder. He's a great coach, or Frank Vogel is a good, nice coach, but I don't know if they're well suited. Like the fire that Brooklyn and the media landscape that New York is, it takes a special type of coach. And I just hope that Udoka has the right, because at least maybe he has the players' trust, at least from the time he was an assistant coach. Ever since we did finally get the star player, and it's been nonstop drama, and not in the good way, for those Brooklyn Nets. And it just nothing surprises me anymore. It's just constantly a drama-filled chapter after chapter after chapter, and I'm just gonna just watch it with my eyes wide open, just absorb it all, and hope it's just a bad dream.
I can just picture you with your eyes glued to your monitor with your league pass.
I'm like just
wide eyed open.
It's like the poster for Get Out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Like his eyes are just like. He's like crying, but he's like eyes are like wide open.
Oh God!
I mean, I told you in the past I wanted to leave this team because of our owner. I don't want this owner.
So I don't know. You've got some. You have some ethnic issues with your heritage.
Ethic?
I we don't have time on this show to fix you. You're clearly damaged.
No, I'm saying that's at the top of the totem pole is the Nets are owned.
We'll talk about your broken childhood and why you're damaged in a different show. Right, we shouldn't be surprised this day and age, but I am kind of surprised. And moreover, I'm very surprised that Boston just let this guy go, because in the past we've had cases where
that's fair.
If the coaches move, they get the teams can get at least a draft pick, even though the Nets don't have any draft pick, but maybe a second round pick or maybe some cash considerations. In this instance, they're getting nothing. The Celtics are getting nothing out of this.
Well, they've accepted to let Udoka leave for nothing,
which is incredible, because it's not like Udoka's no Jack Vaughn, right? This is one of the top coaches.
Well, he's a head coach.
Top, rising star head coach. What do you think they'll do with Kyrie Irving now? Let's move away from Udoka for a second. Now that you've got an established coach, and I'm assuming that they're going to basically continue his contract, they're going to pick up his contract with Boston, right? In other words, whatever's remaining as part of the Boston contract, they'll just pick it up for Brooklyn would just pick it up. So he's not going to get a pay rise. It's going to be that same contract. So let's just assume Udoka is going to be safe for a few seasons. The next question then is, what do you think they'll do with Kyrie Irving, who, as we know, has become a problem, a serious problem, not only for the Brooklyn Nets, dare I say he's becoming a problem for the NBA in general. Do you want to talk about his recent transgressions?
No, not really. I know this is a bit, I don't know what the word is, but maybe it's just because I'm tired.
You forgive him.
I'm just trying to run away. I'm just trying to run away from all this news. I just want to hug Steve Nash so badly. It's okay. It's not your fault.
To be honest, this is kind of predictable. Was it last summer that we saw Nike drop Kyrie as a sponsorship?
This is the last season. I think he is like on a contract. They're not extending.
Right. Despite the fact that Kyrie, you know, is a very popular player, he's got a very popular and visible shoe.
One of the most lucrative, signature shoes for Nike as well.
In the same way that Adidas in recent weeks have dropped Kanye West. So, you know, kind of the canary in the coal mine, if you will, is the fact that these major shoe sponsorships companies are dropping these players. And believe me, they're well resourced to be investigating this behind the scenes to know what exactly is happening. So we probably should have taken that story a bit more seriously. And now we see what Kyrie is doing, which is, you know, retweeting some promotions for hateful movies and media. And then getting into spats with the media. I feel like it's reaching a toxic boiling point. And plus, I think it's affecting his game on the court. You know, this is the first season where I'm consistently seeing Kyrie fumbling the dribble.
He's still playing very well. Like, very, very well. But then his off moments are very bad. Very, very bad. But you can say the same thing about KD. KD is turning the ball over at incredible levels too, but he's also blocking shots, he's also scoring at a pretty high clip, but he's not as efficient as he used to. He's not hitting, if you watch the games, he's not hitting clutch shots when he needs to, like shots that basically silence other teams, like just stop other teams in the tracks. He's not hitting those shots anymore. To me, like, he's kind of lost a bit of confidence, and maybe it's more that he doesn't trust his teammates around him. Ben Simmons is special. Like, if you want to put blame on a player, a starter his team that's not pulling the weight, it's Ben Simmons. He's, to me, like, objectively, he's the worst player on the Nets team. And I've been critical of other Net players, but Ben Simmons to me is a train wreck, to be putting it lightly. He's had some nice moments, but like, that's putting it so lightly, but compared to like how much he's getting paid, and the pedigree, this type of dude. He's a blue chip player, or he used to be a blue chip player.
You told me he was MVP. You once told me he was MVP.
Forget about MVP or forget All-Star. This guy, in terms of, like, just look at his body, man. Like, look at his athleticism, look at his height, look at his dribbles and handles and passing skills. Like, you don't need offense if you're that tall, that long, that, like, smooth. You don't need a shoot. And for a long time, we're like, okay, if you just develop a jump shot like Giannis was starting to do, you can be he was very consistent also with a jump shot. You can be a fucking, you know, first team or NBA kind of guy.
Forget just a jump shot. I mean, this guy at this point, so far this season, he doesn't have a floater. He doesn't have like a layup.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This season, it's sad. It's sad to... I mean, he's... Okay, he's...
That's what I'm saying. He is so scared to shoot. He's fucking throwing lobs to, like, Patty Mills.
For someone that passes so accurately, he's so bad at shooting. I don't understand the disconnect here. Can't you just pass it into the basket if you're that accurate?
Wait, how do we get talking about Ben Simmons?
Okay, I guess my point is, like, evaluating players for the Nets. I've watched every game, obviously. And Kyrie is obviously not a guy that you can depend on to elevate this team to the next level. Like, I'm pretty sure at this point, he's not the guy. I used to be quite a big fan of him just because his skills are so mesmerizing. And it still is. Like, this season is still... But the fact that he's so mesmerizing, but it's not contributing... Like, he has, same as KD, one of the worst plus minuses in the NBA. It just makes me think, like, why don't we just, like you've told me, why don't we just get rid of him? Like, we're not gaining anything from him having here. We're actually gaining things from him leaving, because we won't have that level of drama following the Nets. Like, we'll lose one of the layers of drama that Kyrie just creates, because that's what Kyrie does, whether it's tweeting an anti-Semitic movie or it's him going on his holiday birthday party mid-season, or him taking up some social cause because it's something that he apparently truly believes in, or if it's flat earth or any other sort of potpourri of things that pop in Kyrie's head.
Bingo, Kane.
I can't justify this anymore, and at this point I am ready to cut bait, because financially it makes sense, and on the court I'd rather KD just do all the work and just let KD have all the space and have the ball all the time and let the ball just flow through KD. I think it honestly will be a better product. Even if we don't win the final, even though the ceiling's not as high, it doesn't matter because Kyrie clearly is not like the answer to...
I agree with you 100,000%. I'd rather the Nets lose than have Kyrie. They're losing with Kyrie. What's the difference? Give all the ball to KD or don't give it to KD. What difference does it make? You know, you got Kyrie and KD playing together and you've won two games. Who cares? This is not developing anything. Kyrie is absolutely not in the Nets organization's future. Okay? Because he's going to be a free agent this summer. You think the Nets are going to give him a contract? But let me say this to you. Record this. Someone record. Okay. I guess we are recording this.
Oh, shit. I forgot to record.
Mark my words. Mark my words, Kane. Kyrie Irving will not get another large contract. It's over.
Define large. Like, we're talking about 100 mil then, right?
No more $100 million contract.
How about 1 year, 20 mil? Is that a large contract? Or
not going to get it.
That's fine.
Not going to get it.
Okay.
But mark my words, nobody is going to sign Kyrie to a long-term contract.
Mm.
Oh, shit. My screen just went off. Just hold on.
That's Kyrie.
Is it Kyrie? Is it Kyrie?
It's the Illuminati.
I'm sorry, Kyrie. You deserve better.
Okay, Kyrie, you can have a long-term contract.
Why not? No one's going to give him a long-term contract, okay? I think it's possible that Lakers will roll the dice and maybe give him a one-year contract. That's the only place that I can see him going to. But otherwise, who would want to touch this guy? This guy is absolutely toxic. The fact that sponsors, Nike, does not want any part of Kyrie Irving anymore, despite the fact that he makes some money, is indication that this person, this player, is not fit for the league anymore. For all I know, he could be retiring next year because he's not happy with the contracts or the offers that he's getting. I would say more than a possibility, this is the likely path for Kyrie Irving. And I would suspect that if things don't turn around for the Nets before December, Kyrie Irving will be gone by December.
Like waived? Like released?
Released. Because what benefit is there for you to keep Kyrie Irving and then have to deal with all the things that comes with Kyrie Irving and to get zero results? Isn't it better to get zero results and save yourself the headache?
I can see that side of it, but after hearing this, I have tried to stop listening to it, but after hearing this on ESPN and other sport channels, and obviously when I was watching the game today, after hearing these theories all day long, I promise you, when that happens, if that happens, the NBA is going to fucking drop the nuts. Like, they're going to go crazy over the Nets waving Kyrie. Kyrie, as much
Whoa,
as...
okay. I haven't heard this.
But I promise you, even at that point, even if they're, like, you know, whatever, 10 and 15, 11 and 20, if they release Kyrie, the NBA is going to fucking shit their pants because it's going to be the biggest, one of the biggest stories to come out in a while. It's just like Kyrie, as long as he's going to be connected to NBA, he's going to generate storylines.
Okay, but I think this is where you're a bit delusional. Okay, so when you said the NBA is going to drop their nuts, you mean not literally the NBA front office?
Oh yeah, I just mean the NBA media landscape is going to
the fandom,
like they're talking, yeah, in a fan sort of experience, yeah, like they're talking all like, oh yeah, expected to happen, like, yeah, I don't like what's the point of continuing this experiment any longer when he's delivering zero results? But people are going to lose their shit. It's going to be nonstop 24/7 coverage of Kyrie being released, and I'm like, because Kyrie just generates headlines. It's just what it is. So, like this idea of being shocked or, of being like not surprised or, you know, like it was bound to happen. Like you and me and everyone, you know, around the NBA is just going to be fucking shocked.
Are we going to be shocked, right? Because I think we'd be shocked if it happened. Actually, I wouldn't have been even shocked if they did that at the beginning of the season, like before the season. But are we going to be shocked? Because if they don't turn around by December, I mean, we're going to see another 15, 20 games of poor Kyrie performances, right?
I'm thinking like a comparable comp might be like Stephon Marbury or an Allen Iverson in terms of
I like that.
Players that yeah. sort of kind of got on people's nerves in the locker room. But they were like just amazing star players, amazing, amazing talents in the league.
They were gone quick.
I think Kyrie's, you know, even above that, because not only is he a special talent in terms of a player, still, like in terms of what he brings on, like in terms of his brand of basketball, and not in terms of like winning games or whatever. I'm not talking about that. Clearly, he doesn't affect winning games. I'm talking about just his style of basketball making you feel mesmerized when you watch him and him doing something special, like no other player does what he does, sort of thing like that. It's still going to capture headlines regardless of how prepared, quote unquote, prepared people are if the Nets aren't like winning, still don't have a winning record by December, sort of thing. January. That's all I'm saying.
I'm holding your feet to the fire because you just give me a whole spiel about how Kyrie's special. Will he get another long-term contract?
Well, long-term, can it be like, can it be 50, like 15 years? Like, can it be like a 3-year, $15 million per year sort of thing?
I'll give you 3 years. Yeah, 3 years.
At least 3 years, 15 mil, 18 mil sort of thing? Dennis Schroeder sort of contract?
No, 3 year, yeah, actually, sure. Three years, 15, I mean, he's not going to accept 3 years, 15 million, right? But let's just say 3 years.
No, not 3 years, 15. I'm talking about like times 15.
Yeah, so yeah. You think Kyrie's...
So like 45, 60, even 80 mil contracts, sort of thing like that.
3 year, 80 million. That's totally different. Like how much is... That's like over 20-something million dollars.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, sorry. Okay.
So that's different. I'm talking about 3 years. Because like the mid-level exception is like approaching $10 million, right? So
okay, so say 330.
Three for 30. 330? Three for 30, three for 40, three for even 50. Is someone going to offer Kyrie Irving 3 for $50? Is he going to take 3 for $50?
No. He's not going to. But is he going to get offered it? Is a team willing to give it to him because they're willing to take a chance on Kyrie? I'm going to say yes.
Interesting. I guess it's a moot point because he's not going to take 3 for 50, right?
Yeah, I guess it's a moot point.
Like, there's players making, John Wall's making like $40 million. Granted, he's not going to get enough.
Well, I mean, that was from a bygone era.
But let's just say Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole is like a fucking rookie and off his rookie extension, and he's getting like, what, $20 million, $25 million a year?
He's young. He's got potential. Oh,
what does Kyrie care about that? He doesn't see, Jordan Poole as a G leaguer. So he's going to be massively insulted if...
Maybe... I mean, I've never forgotten about this, but maybe he joins Jimmy Butler in Miami. He just goes to Miami and just has fun in Miami.
Wait, for how much? What's Miami offering?
I don't know. He just accepts it. He accepts 3 for 60 or something. 3 for 50.
3 for 50 to Miami.
Whoa. Maybe... Because I've always liked it. I always, like, when I first told you, I was like, Jimmy Butler and Kyrie just...
Oh, my God. Can you imagine those two together? Jesus.
It would be fun.
Oh.
At least it wouldn't be on my fucking team.
Oh, they should bring... to make him feel at home, they should bring back Miles Leonard.
I don't know. I think...
I'm too blind.
Like, I watch Kyrie, I'm like...
What was Myers Leonard's excuse? The fact that he blurted out some anti-Semitic slur? What was his excuse?
Can't remember.
Did he say he didn't know what that meant?
Oh, yeah. It was the K word, right?
It's a K word.
On a video game or something?
And then what did he say?
You didn't know what it was. I'd explain it to you.
I knew what it was. I knew what the word meant.
Oh, you did?
I knew not to use words like that. Yeah. But his excuse was what? Was it that he didn't understand or know what the word was?
Just like he didn't know what that word meant. Like it wasn't... He didn't know that that word was an anti-Semitic slur. I think Kyrie will get a chance somewhere because he might be a superstar on the cheap. Possibly, if he's willing.
Those are some good points. You're getting a superstar. You're getting a box office attraction. Well, I'm not even sure about that. I don't think that teams are willing to put themselves in a situation that they're currently witnessing in Brooklyn. And it has not been good with Kyrie since his Cleveland days. And that's a long time.
Like, yeah, Kyrie deserves a bulk of the blame, but like, doesn't KD deserve a lot of blame too for thinking that he can transform and organize? This guy thought he could just go into New York Knicks with Kyrie and make them like the mecca of basketball again.
Well, I mean, KD is to blame, but KD is just stupid and weird, and Kyrie is stupid, weird, and also a racist. And that's the problem.
Mm. Okay, yeah, that's fair. I mean, to me, it's sad because KD clearly doesn't want to be here when instead, like, they chose KD. Obviously, who wouldn't choose KD? But they chose KD over a bunch of players that loved playing in Brooklyn and loved playing in Barclays, and the city loved
Steph Curry.
That team, that 2018
okay,
team.
Okay, and that team. Now they love Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And the Knicks. Because those are the cheers I hear in the Barclays Center. It's for Steph Curry and or the Knicks.
Okay. I think, I don't know, like, obviously KD has brought a lot more Nets fans, but it was always like pretty, like, it was a very underrated home crowd. I don't know. Maybe because I watched the Nets program so much. Fuck it. They're not great. I don't know.
It's terrible. They have a terrible fan base.
I did watch the Thunder today, Thunder vs. Magic. And I'm just watching like a simpler time when you have your own draft picks and you have no pressure. And you just go out there and play hard, and the home crowd is like just fully into it. And the Thunder like overcame a double digit deficit to go on to beat. Well, it was against the Magic, to be fair, but still, the Thunder are like fucking 4-4 or something like that this season without their rookie high draft pick, injured. And I was just watching that game. It was like, oh my God, it's like, is that what it means to be, like, have fun playing basketball? Anyway. That's why maybe sometimes I'm saying, like, maybe it's just better just to cut bait, let Udoka just control the squad, let Mox kind of sit back a little bit and just trade KD for what he can get. See if he can trade Kyrie for something. If not, just waive him. Fuck it. He's only 1 year left anyway. Just eat his contract. And then just build around Ben.
Did you say build around Ben Simmons?
We can't trade Ben Simmons, right? Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Listen, where's Joel Tsai? Is he on the line right now? Is he on the line? Probably on the line. He's definitely on the line.
I can salvage some things. KD, I can salvage. Kyrie is like, just get rid of it because he's on the last year anyway. Ben Simmons has 3 years on his contract. He's still owed like $40 million in 2 years' time.
Okay, Kane. I guess you'll, to ease your mind, I guess next time we'll talk about your Buccaneers.
Jesus. Next time, let's go over the fucking Lakers.
Okay, you be careful. You be careful there.
Let's talk about your president winning a fifth term or something. And then a power move. Removing an elderly old man, his predecessor, his mentor, from his seat.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about. Man. I don't know what you're talking about. If you're talking about former president who, he's fine. Okay, he's fine. He's at home.
Yeah, who?
Okay, Kane. I know we've been very excited. It's been a very exciting week in the NBA, and I'm sure I don't see this stopping anytime soon. We'll have plenty to talk about, hopefully involving some basketball. But if not, then, you know, we can talk about my other favorite topic, Ime Udoka. And his taste in women. Okay.
It's not a good time to be me. Otherwise, it's been pretty depressing, I gotta say.
Okay, you be careful, Kane. Just know, even though the Buccaneers and the Nets hate you, I love you. And our listeners love you. Thank you. And by our listeners, I mean Patch and maybe Joanne sometimes.
I'm crying. I'm crying inside.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.